peel back what you're really thinking and what it means. When you figure out what you're really thinking about and what it means, you can then have more power to move forward and understand why that fear is coming up, why you're spiraling in self-doubt, why you're second-guessing, and what it ultimately means if you follow that trail all the way through. Most of the time, we feel the ping-pong match. We feel the mind drama. We feel the heaviness of the doubt of weighing us down with second-guessing, and we want to run from it because it feels bad. But I want to remind you that the more you can feel your feelings, the more confident you will be, the more courageous you will be in your life. Because what happens when we second guess is we run from feeling our feelings and we think, well, I'll just stay in this state of stagnation because then I'm sure something will sort itself out. So we wait for things to get fixed when we are the ones who need to take action and just make a move.
You're listening to the Confidence Podcast, your one-stop shop for motivation, inspiration, and confidence to help you boldly take action on your dreams. I'm your host, Trish Blackwell, internationally recognized confidence coach and founder of the College of Confidence. And I teach women how to take their thoughts captive, how to step out of the shadows of self-doubt, and how to courageously step into their purpose with confidence. It's time to train your thoughts. Let's get started.
Hey guys, it's Trish Blackwell, and you are listening to the Confidence Podcast. This is episode 426. Woo! We are crushing 2021 in the College of Confidence, y'all. Our 100 Confident Days Challenge has taken momentum to the next level. Okay, I just can't help it. When you're proud of your people, you're proud of your community, you want to shout it from the rooftops. And so I just shout out to my COC students. Y'all are showing up. And that's what the 100 Confident Days Challenge is. Can you show up 100 times for yourself in a row, in little ways and big ways, to get massive results? And I'm walking step by step with you each way. Guys, it's not too late to get in to the 100 Confident Days Challenge. And you get in as soon as you become a member of the College of Confidence. You know where to go, collegeofconfidence.com. But we're talking about an important topic today, and it's one that will keep many resolution setters from their goals, or from the life that God created you to live, or from total joy, or from allowing yourself to be yourself and be who you were created to be, from all the things that make you feel, that are keeping you stuck in insecurity, stuck in smallness, stuck in that mind, just mental madness and chaos of overthinking and overwhelm. And that is second guessing yourself. So it's a question of self-trust and second guessing. And we're talking today about how to never second guess yourself again. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. It doesn't mean we're not going to have to make some course corrections along the way, but you will save so much energy and time and emotion and just spinning your wheels if you just give yourself permission to ditch this default. Well, it's a default thought behavior that doesn't serve you. And just because you've thought one way your whole life does not mean that you always have to continue thinking one way. Just because you've always been one way doesn't mean you will continue to be that way. What your self-concept is, who you are and who you see yourself as a self-concept, is how you show up in the world. It will determine how you act, how you behave and show up. And those things, your actions, your behaviors, are what create your life. So just because you've always behaved in one way, does that mean you have to continue that way? These are default behaviors that we can reset, sort of like do a system reset. In the same way you reset your phone when something's frozen, or recently we reset our Apple TV because our Netflix or our YouTube got frozen. You just do a system reset and everything is fresh and new and programmable. And the same thing goes for your brain and your thoughts. And so you can learn. The good news today is that you can learn how to never second guess yourself again when you learn to manage the whirlwind of thoughts that swirl through your mind on a daily basis. In this particular episode of the Confidence Podcast, we're talking about a few things. Well, of course, second guessing yourself. We're going to talk about mind drama. We're talking about self-coaching yourself out of the second-guessing spiral and more, so even more specifically, why we second-guess ourselves in the first place and what it means. The mind drama that goes on behind the scenes of second-guessing. So there's like multiple layers of thought insecurity that happens when we allow ourselves to indulge in second guessing. And honestly, guys, this is on big stuff and little stuff. I have found myself, even though I've done a lot of work in this area, there's still many areas of my life I default to this. And I find it when I'm making, honestly, a house decision. I second guessed myself on this big rug, a 9x12 rug, which feels like a big commitment. But I second-guessed myself on the color and the palette. And there were so many other layers to that underneath that. Should I spend that much money? What if I don't have good interior design taste? And what if this? Or what if I get it and it's not thick? Should I have gone thinner? I mean, there's so many decisions. It becomes decision overload. I'm also in the process of buying a treadmill. I don't know if I want a $1,000 treadmill or a $6,000 treadmill. And I get, and that's the problem. I don't have to make that choice. And then I read the reviews, and every review of every treadmill I see has a 1-star review that says, you know, the customer service is terrible and can't contact them. Don't buy this treadmill. So they might have all these raving things, and you get that outlier and you think, well, I don't want a $6,000 treadmill that I can't turn on by myself. I'm a gym goer. I love the gym. I miss the gym. And now I have gone for 10 months running outside. Do I even need this treadmill? And you can see the ping-ponging back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then I forget it and I say, you know what? You don't need a treadmill. It's beautiful to run outside. Even I've been running outside when it's snowing, when it's icy in the mornings. I just slow down my pace and it's kind of fun, like a little dance, tiptoe dance through the like the frost. Y'all, if you saw me, you'd be like, who's this nut? She's smiling and she's freezing. What's going on? And she also doesn't have a treadmill. That's what's going on. So then I get that. I forget it. I'm like, you know, you're fine, Trish. And then I wake up and it's a 20-degree morning and it's raining and I layer myself with 7 layers. And I think the whole time when I'm running, time to buy the treadmill, time to buy the treadmill. So this is a very, look, you can second guess buying a treadmill or a rug. You can second guess which school to go to or which not to. You can second guess whether you want to marry that person or not, how you want to do your budget, how you want to grow your business, all of these things. There's always going to be a decision. And we have so many decisions. We are inundated with decisions. Overload to the point where we shut down and we stay stagnant and we never move forward on big things and little things. And then we feel cluttered and like we have so much to do. And so I hope you see here that there is actually, we are creating part of the problem, that we actually have less to do than we think we did if we just made faster, more confident decisions. And that is a long preamble to what we're talking about today. So this is the mind drama that goes on behind the scenes of the second guessing. And I'm going to talk to you today about 10 ways to never second guess yourself again. Hang tight to the end because there's one mega bonus thought that I want to add to this. And before we dive in deeper, I got to say thank you to all my patrons. For $5 a month, you are helping us cover the cost of the production of this show, and it just means so much to me. And in return, if you didn't know, I produce 2 bonus podcast episodes every month. They drop on our Patreon account, and they're exclusively available for the patrons. So thank you for those of you who support the show. And if you thought, well, I want to hear more of Trish's thoughts on confidence in my faith, confidence in my relationship with God. Those episodes are what we do on our faith takes on our Patreon bonus episodes. If you want access to those, go to patreon.com/theconfidencepodcast. Of course, that link is in the show notes, which you can get at trishblackwell.com/426. Our review of the week is from The Alyssa. She says, I've listened to various podcasts and TED Talks about confidence and mental strength, but this is by far the best. Trish's words are encouraging, motivating, and comforting. And if you practice what she teaches, you'll realize just how real they are. I've become my most confident, authentic self since discovering this podcast, and I can't wait to continue my mental healthy journey with Trish as my guide. Keep it up, Trish. You're a godsend. The Alyssa, you are why I show up. You've become your most confident, authentic self, your God-given self. And you guys, the world is magnetized to authenticity and to confidence. And you leading the way and showing somebody what's possible really sparks life into others. If you haven't yet listened to episode 424 of How to Think Like a Happy Person, I go back and listen after you listen to today's episode because it's compelling. Your pursuit of happiness and joy and peace and confidence is not solely a selfish pursuit. It is a pursuit that gives back to the world because you're showing others by example what's possible and how to live in a way that's different than the world lives. And that's inspiring. You have no idea how many lives you impact by doing the work on yourself. So if sometimes when you hear the coaching and the work we're talking about, you want that quick fix, but it's taking you months or even years. Some of the work and some of the breakthroughs I've had, they've been progressive. It's sort of like slow miracles, but they've been worth the wait. I got to tell you, they're worth the wait. So press on and press in. Let's talk about second guessing yourself. Let's start by just identifying that second guessing happens when we don't trust ourselves. It happens when we become victims to what I call the phenomenon of mind drama. So I recently came across this concept of mind drama, and it's a great way to summarize the kind of the conversations that you have with yourself when it feels like a ping pong match, when you feel like you're going back and forth, and it could be a should I get that treadmill or this treadmill, that treadmill or this treadmill, that, you know, or offer this in my business or that, or this or that. Do we want kids? Do we not? Or, you know, you go through all the pros and cons and you feel stuck in the cycle of pros and cons. You just can't make a decision. Or it happens when you're maybe thinking something really positive about yourself and then a criticism. And then like, you're like, no. Like I don't walk in shame anymore. I don't walk in guilt. I walk in grace and joy, and I'm grateful for the lessons and the failures. And then you're like, no, you're a piece of crap. Like that's the kind of mind drama we're also talking about, where part of your mind is saying, go girl, you got this. The other part's going, you better hide in a corner, put that hooded sweatshirt back up, get yourself a big old thing of popcorn and a bottle of wine and watch Netflix under your sheets because you can't show up in the world. And you're like, I can do it. No, I can't. So that is mind drama as well. And it's these two opposing thoughts that are going back and forth. And it's a battle for your thoughts. It's Joyce Meyer so famously said in her book, Battlefield of the Mind. It's a battlefield in your mind. Because if you lose the battle of your mind, you lose the battle of your life. So here's the thing about mind drama. It's not an indication that you're doing anything wrong. So for years, as I was doing my personal development growth and getting coaching and doing some of this deep work and starting my therapy journey, I thought, well, I shouldn't be still second guessing myself. Or I thought I was past this. Why do I still have thoughts about this? Or I was really growing in confidence, but why am I sometimes still insecure or feeling like overwhelmed with self-doubt and imposter syndrome, yet I'm also at the same time quite confident. Like I thought I was failing. I thought I was almost a fraud or a fluke, thinking, well, I guess some of it's working, but not all of it. But then I did more research and I've done more study and of course done more work. And I realized that this is just natural. This is part of the experience of being human. There's a ping pong conversation back and forth with yourself all the time. And if you think about it, there's a knot of your thoughts that you unravel only to find that get knotted again. And so that's what I love about coaching. My job, especially with my one-on-one clients, is I help take your knotted thoughts and we unravel them and we straighten them up and we look at which of those strings we want to stay and which ones we want to get rid of. But it's normal. I want to normalize this for you. There's nothing wrong with you or wrong in the work you're doing and the efforts you're making to train your thoughts if there's still mind drama. Because it's mind drama is actually a reminder that we need to reset our thoughts over and over. We need to set our mind each and every day. And I love that. Mind drama is normal. It is managing your mind is part of living a highly effective life. I'm going to say that again. Managing your mind is part of living a highly effective life. You aren't failing if you need to reset and realign your thoughts. In fact, it's a reminder that you have daily work to do. In the same way, I cannot wake up and not brush my teeth, as my five-year-old always very, very, very kindly reminds me. Never kindly. It's a daily process. I gotta brush my teeth every day. I'm not mad at my teeth. I gotta brush my hair every day. Sometimes I'm mad at my hair, but I mean, that's part of I just accepted that that's part of life. And I need to brush my mind every day and throughout the day to reset my mind, reset my thoughts. So it's normal to need to set your mind. And I love that. The Bible is always told, this is not new information. Renew your mind, it says. Renew your mind. Meditate on what is good and right. Think on good things. Here's the thing. what I also like to think about, it's sort of like office drama. You know, if you work in a workplace, an office place, which is not right now because most of us are working from home, but there's always going to be mind drama. There's always going to be drama in life. And you can either get sucked into it or you can walk right past it. So just because there's mind drama going on in your mind, it does not mean you have to listen to it. It does not mean that you're responsible for every thought you think. That was a really freeing thought. I thought I was failing in my thought work when I kept having bad thoughts. There's going to be your mind can be the wild, wild west. It's an input of so many things. And when I wasn't as mindful of what I was putting in on the input, I had a lot more input and negative thoughts and self-defeating thoughts and compare and despair thoughts that really sent me spiraling. But the key is, though, as I like to tell my students in the College of Confidence, you're not responsible for the first thought of the day, but you are responsible for replacing it if it is not a thought that serves you, brings you life, or sets you up to succeed in that day. So we say we're not responsible for the first thought that enters our mind when we open up and wake to consciousness, but we are responsible for what we're going to think on with intention as we put our feet on the ground from the bed and say, this is the day. Honestly, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hey, I'm not tired. I am well rested. Maybe I didn't get enough sleep as I want, but I have more than enough energy to shine and be alive today. So you reset with intention. And so just because you think it doesn't mean you have to stay there. And so there's always going to be resistance pushing in on you. And I think that's okay to know that. That is not a reflection that you're not confident enough yet, that you haven't made progress. It's just an indication that you're a human being and you have a human brain. And so I want to talk about this. Let's talk about why we even second guess ourselves in the first place. I think there's a couple of reasons. I think that we second guess ourselves because we were first and foremost, we experience the mind drama and the ping pong, and it thinks we interpret that to mean that something's broken in us, or that we're out of control, or that our brains are a mess. So, like, I remember thinking, my brain's just a hot mess. I mean, and especially I had a lot of evidence in my athletic career, from coaches being like, gosh, you'd be in the Olympics, or you'd have this incredible professional career if you just could get your thoughts right. Stop overthinking, Trish. Stop worrying about where the competition is. You know, I psyched myself out so much at big competitions that I was sometimes faster in practice than I was at big meets. The problem with that is in practice, I was faster than some of the top athletes who had pro careers and had great experiences and, you know, crazy level athletic exposure. And my mind got in my own way. And then I held on to that failure as an indication that my mind was an unmanageable mess that would never get help. And the reality is that I just needed better mental coaching at that point. I needed a sports psychologist that understood where my mind was. And I think I got like a seminar once, but I never got true support. And so I had to work through the grace on that and realizing that just because I used to think that way does not mean I will always think that way. But I thought that, wow, man, I've seen them. Such a hot mess. There's no hope for me. But I gotta tell you, God loves to take our mess and turn it into our message. He loves to turn something messy into something beautiful. And I can look at the Bible and see so much evidence of over and over again that he is in the work of transforming our minds. That means he's changing our thoughts. That means that a lot of this isn't on you. A lot of it is this act of surrender and awareness and openness. Another reason we second guess ourselves is we're too attached to old identities, like the old identity of maybe you don't follow through, or the old identity of, oh gosh, I've made bad decisions with who I dated before, so I don't trust myself to make good decisions. Or like my old identity of, man, I'm a hot mess as an athlete, so, you know, I guess I'm going to carry that into the rest of my life. And it's simply not true. So old identities need to stay where they belong, in the past. I think we get stuck in second-guessing because we have thorns of perfectionism still clinging to us. Even if you've been working for years on detoxing your perfectionism, the desire for all circumstances to just be right and for everybody to be happy or for all things to be good really puts a lot of pressure on you making the quote-unquote perfect decision, or waiting for the perfect time to do something, or buying the perfect treadmill or rug. And at the end of the day, sometimes the decisions between A or B, they just don't matter. Sometimes when you're choosing things and you're like stuck in a major decision, even a major decision that you're like, yeah, but this could be life-changing, this college versus this college, going full force into this sport versus this sport, do I write this book or that book? Honestly, guys, I know you can go down the rabbit hole and go, well, this is going to affect who I meet, potentially my future spouse, all of these things. Or you can just trust that God's got a plan and that whoever you're supposed to meet in your life, you will. And some of the decisions we make are arbitrary. And I love this definition I recently heard of faith, that faith is the willingness to take the first step forward before God reveals to you the second step you have to take. And so second guessing, it's an act of letting go of second guessing, is also an act of faith. It's as much an act of self-trust as it is an act of faith and trusting that God will help you in your path, whatever direction that path takes. And then the other reason we second guess ourselves is we are honestly, y'all, too wrapped up in caring what people think. Now, I'm raising my hand here. I'm definitely not as over-attached as I used to be. I've done years of work on this, but it still surfaces. I still have to be very mindful of my social media exposure. I have to be mindful of my thoughts. I have to proactively protect my thoughts and the real estate that I give. If my thoughts are like a beachfront property, I got to keep the good sand for the good thoughts. And so caring too much what people think is going to keep you in a state of second guessing, because you're constantly wondering, is this the right move? Is this the right move? Will this make me popular? Will this make me get me more likes? Will this make me a more viable employee or romantic partner? And if you want to work on how to stop caring what people think, we have a course that goes in depth on that in the College of Confidence. And then, of course, I have a free webinar. If you've not yet taken it, I really suggest that you check it out. You can go to trishblackwell.com/stop caring to check that out. It's trishblackwell.com/stop caring.
Hey guys, I got to take a quick break to tell you about my friends at BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness? I've been wanting to start counseling because you know I talk about it. You know I recommend it, but you just don't know where to start. Well, BetterHelp is where to start. They'll help you assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You'll get to connect in a safe and private online environment. It's so convenient and, of course, confidential. And once you sign up, you can start communicating with your therapist with under 24 hours. Y'all, this isn't self-help. This is professional counseling. One of the things I love the most is that you can send your counselor a message at any time. You get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you get to schedule weekly video or phone sessions. Guys, BetterHelp is truly making it easy to get access to therapy. Their licensed professional counselors specialize in depression, anxiety, stress, relationships, sleeping, trauma, anger, family, conflict, grief, self-esteem, you name it, they've got a specialist. And I want you to start living a happier life today. I want you to get into the resource of therapy that I so recommend. And as a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/confidencepod. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/confidencepod.
Okay, so let's talk about how to coach yourself through the second guessing. How do you get out of this spiral? Well, and first let's start with how to coach yourself coach through mind drama, through the ping pong match. And that is, honestly, it's going to sound counterintuitive because you're going to immediately say, well, I don't, Trish. Like, if I could slow down and stop and actually think, I would do it. I don't have the time. But I want to challenge you to create the time. Even if you can go to your car and sit in quiet for 3 minutes, creating pockets of peace in your life can change your life and give your space, yourself time and space to think. It changes everything. But make the time to create and create the space to self-coach through your mind drama. And use pen and paper if possible. There is so much power when you take pen and put it to paper and allow yourself to breathe. I believe that journaling is breathing for your brain. It's this exhale of what is in there and needs to get released. And then what you write down in response to what you've written down as an exhale is what you inhale up. So it's a negative thought you take out and a positive one you take up. And a conversation that you can have more with yourself. I think sometimes when we want to break the mind drama, we go, well, how do I talk to myself when the ping pong match is going so quickly? Well, the writing slows it down and you can actually look at what you're thinking about. And then you can answer that thought and say, you know what? I don't agree with you. That thought, like, hey, thought, I disagree and I'm going to move on. I think there's also a lot of value to talking out loud to yourself. And I know you're going to be like, whoa, I don't want to be a little crazy. You're not. It's powerful. It's crazy because it works, because you are self-coaching in a way that you're bringing awareness to your thoughts and clear-cutting yourself out of the self-guessing spiral. Peel back. It's so important that as you slow down and you self-coach the mind drama, that you also just say, hey, it's okay. I've got some mind drama going on. I need to work this out. Like, reclaiming that, it's not pretending. Pretending it's not happening is not helpful. But peel back what you're really thinking and what it means. When you figure out what you're really thinking about and what it means, you can then have more power to move forward and understand why that fear is coming up, why you're spiraling in self-doubt, why you're second-guessing, and what it ultimately means if you follow that trail all the way through. Most of the time, we feel the ping-pong match. We feel the mind drama. We feel the heaviness of the doubt of weighing us down with second guessing, and we want to run from it because it feels bad. But I want to remind you that the more you can feel your feelings, the more confident you will be, the more courageous you will be in your life. Because what happens when we second guess is we run from feeling our feelings and we think, well, I'll just stay in this state of stagnation because then I'm sure something will sort itself out. So we wait for things to get fixed when we are the ones who need to take action and just make a move. So when you determine what you are actually believing, things truly change. Like, you've got to figure out, what am I so afraid of? Why am I second guessing and going back and forth and questioning and overthinking? And what would happen if I just made one choice? And a lot of times when I work with clients on this, we walk through this narrative and we say, okay, if I make this choice and I go all in and a year from now, it's not the right choice, can I still pivot? I want to remind you, there is power in the pivot. So it's really important as you self-coach that you create a new dialogue with yourself. And do this too by first, maybe you've never considered that you can coach yourself. And by the way, my clients who I coach, who have me as a coach, also self-coach. This does not mean that you don't need a coach or that you don't need a therapist. I truly believe we need all the support and resources we can get access to if we want to thrive as the best version of ourselves. But let's start now. Create a dialogue with yourself that you are going to self-coach. You are your own coach. You are your own friend. You are going to start having conversations back to yourself and put yourself in the position, in the voice. Personify the voice of the most encouraging mentor that you've ever had and be that person back to yourself. And then go back. Another thing, final thing you can do to self-coach through this mind drama is to go back to an affirmation of who you are, of what you believe about yourself, and reaffirm and confirm for yourself that you trust yourself. And it can be something as simple as, I make good decisions and I'm going to move forward with peace. Because when you move forward with peace, you're not spiraling, oh gosh, I hope I made the right decision, and all the anxiety and stress that comes with that. Hey, I walk in peace and confidence. That might be a simple affirmation. Or an affirmation for you if you're rewriting an old identity might be, in the past, I've spiraled and stayed in overthinking, but the new me trusts myself, and I'm going to take action until I get to where I want. So here are 10 ways to never second guess yourself again. Number one, rebuild self-trust. You've got to learn to trust yourself, trust your voice, trust your thoughts, trust your feelings, trust yourself that you have the courage to feel your feelings, to investigate them, to understand them. Trust that you have the courage to look at your thoughts with a neutral lens without judgment and to replace those thoughts. But also trust yourself. You can trust yourself because you're building a relationship with yourself. You are learning how to be somebody who does what they say they're going to do. And you're learning how to respect yourself, because respect and trust go hand in hand. If you're not sure how to do that, that's the kind of work we do in the College of Confidence. We would love for you to join us at collegeofconfidence.com if you're not already a member. Number two, notice and replace thoughts throughout the day. So notice and replace thoughts throughout the day, meaning pay attention to your thoughts and the power you have over them. I love teaching people how to actually take a thought captive, but pretend you are actually physically taking it. In fact, we just did a YouTube video on this, and I walk you through the actual exercises of what I do to take a thought captive, look at it in a physical way, and then replace it. So go to my YouTube channel, Trish Blackwell. Oh, God, I always do that, y'all. It's not trishblackwell.com/YouTube. It is vice versa. YouTube is bigger than me, for sure. YouTube.com/Trish Blackwell. Embrace risk taking. Here's the deal. You might not want to take risks, but no matter what you're doing, any choice you make has a risk. There's always a potential consequence. There's always a potential payoff or backslide. There's always a risk to anything we do. And so here's the thing. Are you going to risk going all in on your dreams? Are you going to risk trusting yourself and like, well, what if it doesn't work out? Or what if I'm not ready? Or what if all the what ifs, all the negative what ifs? Or there's always the positive what ifs. Or are you going to also risk staying stuck and stagnant and in one spot where you are and never giving yourself the opportunity to change or grow? Number four, commit to a growth mindset. You are not in a fixed mindset. Your thoughts, the neuroplasticity of your brain and the neurogenesis that's going on a constant state, the science is there. Our brains do not stay the same. You don't have to think like you've always thought. So you can change how you think, and you can be a lifelong learner. And when you do that, I am convinced that a growth mindset gives you the full access to walking in confidence, even though you never feel quite where you want to be, because that's, you know, you're growing. And if you know that you're growing, you know that it's enough. Now, another thing is to rewire your brain for self-compassion. Really work on being kind to yourself. Second guessing comes from a critical standpoint. It comes from a critical narrative. I want a compassionate narrative to be in your mind. Number six, I want you to start before you feel ready. You're never going to feel ready. So just start. Just start. Just make a decision. You're going to research for till the cows come home on whatever that big decision you're making. And to some extent, yes, be responsible. Do that. Do the thorough research. But here's the thing. Don't put it off, or don't say, oh, after I watch TV. If it's a priority, it needs to get put first. Make it a priority. Do the work, research, and then make a good decision. We prolong our decisions so exceedingly far that they become burdensome. And they don't need to be such burdens. So number seven, self-identify with massive action taking. I think I mentioned this earlier, but massive action taking doesn't mean you're doing massive things, jumping over buildings and, you know, standing on the street corner and speaking into a microphone. Massive action taking is micro actions done millions of times, done until they get you where you want to go. It is a commitment to taking action no matter what. I am a massive action taker. No matter what in the day, I know I'm going to be taking action. And that is in my marriage. I'm taking massive action in my marriage. I'm taking massive action in my parenting, taking massive action in my fitness and health, taking massive action in my business and my coaching and my own self-improvement. It's a commitment to intentional and engaged living through always taking action. Okay, number eight, celebrate pivots, adventure, and chapters. Y'all, the power is in the pivot. If you haven't yet listened, gosh, I did these episodes probably in March when COVID-19 really was, March 2020, the episodes, if you scroll back about 10 months, you'll see some really good episodes on the power being in the pivot and adventure and chapters and seasons of our lives. And you don't have to love the chapter that's going on, but you can embrace it and find the good in it, because you also know there will be an end to it and the next chapter is going to open. So every chapter has a purpose, and there is growth, and there's part of the story and a narrative that's really important. So you don't have to overthink that chapter and second guess what's going on. There's a surrender of trust that happens, and I love that. And it's an adventure. You don't have to have it all figured out. We second guess ourselves because we think we have to know it all. Hey, good news. You don't have to know it all. And think about this. Isn't that funny? Remember elementary school when you're like, oh, they're such a know-it-all. We don't like the know-it-alls. In general, socially speaking, the know-it-alls are annoying. So why is it that we walk around are, as adults in our heads, not telling anybody that we think we have to know it all in order to be ready, to be capable, to be worthy, to be whatever. It doesn't make sense, okay? Some hypocrisy going on if you look at it through the right lens. And that just might be enough encouragement for you to say, oh, okay, I'm going to start before I'm ready. Number 9, ditch caring what people think. I'm going to sing this song till the cows come home. Ditch caring what people think, because what other people think of you does not matter. It doesn't. It's their business. It's none of your business. I care about what you think about yourself. I know what God thinks of you. He thinks you're amazing. He thinks you're his masterpiece. He thinks you have great purpose. He thinks he delights in the details of your day. He loves you. All the other people, look, people are complex. I need you to like you. So let go of caring what people think, and you will find that you don't love the second guessing and overthinking that we engage in. It's because we're worried what people are going to think if we make the wrong decision, or we make a decision that they think is silly or whatever. Who cares? Allow yourself that who cares attitude. And even if you don't, you don't align with it, you'll still find freedom with it. So just practice it, try it on for size, kind of like a little kid trying on heels. My kids do this all the time. They go into my closet, they take all my shoes out, and they try to walk in my heels. But they still can walk in it with practice. So same thing. If it feels awkward or it's too big for you, or a concept that you're like, it's just not me, that's okay. Just practice it. Play with it. And finally, pursue excellence and progression, not perfection. I just truly want you to sink this into your psyche that your goal and your purpose is progression, not perfection. And then you'll release yourself from this need to feel like you have to figure it all out. And you don't. Progression, not perfection. And then finally, I promised you a super bonus. Now, we've already slightly mentioned this, but again, I really truly want you to think about this. Most importantly, ditch second guessing by simply knowing that there will always be a risk. But ultimately, everything is figure outable. Everything is figure outable. Everything can be pivoted. When you're stuck in second guessing, just move forward. Just make a decision. Even if, I was thinking of some scenarios. If you're not sure what's the right coach, start, and then you can move on to a coach you know you want. If you pick the wrong coach to start, and you're like, oh, not a good fit. Okay, now I know what I don't want, and I can move forward. Maybe you're a high school student. You're picking between two sports to commit to. Pick. And if you miss the other one, that's great. You can always go back. We're not on this edge of like this now or never. If you're not sure you're in the right relationship, commit to growing in love. Commit to be fully in. Don't go back and forth playing games. Go all in and do the work in the relationship. And then see if love grows, if it creates itself, or if you realize, gosh, this is not right. And then you close the door with firm boundaries, and now you know more information about the standards you do want and what you do want in a partner. If you're not sure if you're even worth investing in, I know a lot of you have thought about becoming a member of the COC or getting coaching, or maybe you just want to invest in growing your book library this year, but you're like, I don't know, I struggle to spend money on myself. Well, Benjamin Franklin so famously said, investment in yourself pays the highest dividends, but do it. You don't know that until you experience it for yourself. So invest in yourself and know that you can always create more money. Like, there's always a pivot, you guys. And that's why I want you. So everything is figure outable. But you ditch second guessing by just saying, I'm not going to stay here. I'm not going to stay here because when I second guess, I'm putting pause on my life. And I want my life to be filled with forward momentum that's magnetic. And guys, if you want to work with me and you want more results and you're ready to stop talking about it and start doing something about it, you need some skin in the game. If you're ready to invest in your future, I want you to go check out my new coaching page, trishblackwell.com/coaching. In fact, we've redone my homepage. Go check it out. I'm proud. It's taken some work and fill out. And if you go to coaching, check it out and fill out a form and application. I do have a waiting list right now, but I would love to see what your goals are and see if we're a good fit. And I would love to give you 20 minutes of my time to help you determine if coaching with me is a good fit for you. So you can get all that information at trishblackwell.com/coaching. Okay, guys, and as a reminder, we already said 100 Confident Days Challenge, still going strong, still not too late to get in. Join us at collegeofconfidence.com. We have two goals in the program. It's to build your consistency and your self-trust and to double your confidence. I will help you show up for yourself massively for 100 days. Talk about a great way to make sure you hit your 2021 goals. Let's close out with our listener of the episode. It's Carrie Harvey. She reached out on Instagram and on Insta, guys. I am Trish_Blackwell. I'd love to say hi to you over there. She said, "Hey, Trish, I just wanted to give you a quick shout to let you know that I choose peace and not pressure. You have been changing my heart one episode at a time. I find myself almost every day saying, 'Hey, Carrie, what would Trish say about this?' Then I hear your voice and words of encouragement fill my soul. I could not have found your podcast at a better time in my life. And I thank God for you and your words of encouragement and empowerment. Thank you for shining your light." Carrie, thank you for such sweet and powerful feedback, girl. You're doing the work. Thank you. And you guys, it's one of my favorite affirmations. If you want to break free from perfectionism or from the spiraling of second guessing and self-doubt, it's all pressure-based thinking. I choose peace, not pressure. I walk in spaciousness, not confinement. I have joy. I release anxiety. But I choose peace, not pressure. It's one of my faves. So Carrie, I'm so glad that you resonate with that as well. And guys, if this show has blessed you, go ahead on your podcast app right now and press forward. Send it to a friend. Please, sharing is caring. And it is in my heart of hearts to encourage and build up millions of people through the power of words. And by you sharing, you are building them up. And we are creating a movement of people who are not held back by small thinking, self-doubt, self-sabotage, and overwhelm and caring too much what people think. Imagine what it feels like to come fully alive and the work that you will be able to do in this world that makes a difference. And therefore, the work that the people you share this show in general with will be able to do as they lean into really training their thoughts and mastering their minds. Thank you to everybody who does share. Thank you to everybody who writes reviews. Thank you to everyone who just truly, who allows me to be a part of your life. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. So I send you love this week. I hope to see you on YouTube, and I'll see you in the College of Confidence. Go out there today. Go be more of who you are. Be you. Be free.
Thanks for hanging out today. If you've enjoyed today's episode of the Confidence Podcast, we invite you to check out collegeofconfidence.com. The College of Confidence is the essential resource for anyone committed to training their thoughts and elevating their confidence. Students in the College of Confidence get exclusive access to my best coaching resources and courses, and it's all done at a self-study pace that will fit into anyone's lifestyle. If you're looking for the next step beyond the podcast, this is it. With our extensive course library, monthly trainings, live coaching calls, and exclusive Ask Anything forum, you get the most affordable and accessible coaching support available online. The College of Confidence is a supportive, active community to help you along the way with feedback, encouragement, and advice. It is the place where we coach you to step confidently into the calling that God created you to live out. Check it out and join us today at collegeofconfidence.com.